The Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus came down with the 12 and stood on a level place with a great crowd of his disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. They had come to hear Jesus and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were cured. And all in the crowd were trying to touch him, for power came out from him and healed all of them. Then Jesus looked up at his disciples and said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who are hungry now, for you will be filled. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, and when they exclude you, revile you, and defame you on account of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, for surely your reward is great in heaven. For that is what their ancestors did to the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe to you who are full now, for you will be hungry. Woe to you who are laughing now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all speak well of you, for that is what their ancestors did to the false prophets." The Gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. I don't know about you, but I love going to movies. How many of you enjoy watching movies? I'm just curious. I have to admit, sometimes I enjoy watching the old movies on some of those channels that have that. We don't get it here, but in our last home, we got that TCM, you know, Turner Classic Movies, all the good old black and white ones. But there's something even more special about going to a theater to watch a movie. Now, there are some home theaters, I think, that can probably approximate that, but the big screen and the seating, you know, and then after the previews, not all movies, but a lot of movies go dark, right? They start off black, and then maybe you'll hear the strains of some music before you see anything. And then some movies, bang, start off with some fast-paced action. Maybe you're hearing about my favorite kind of movies that have that. But, you know, so whether it's the ominous chords of a cello, like at the beginning of Jaws, or the mayhem in an insane asylum at the beginning of Amadeus, one of my favorite movies, and then the movie is told in flashback sequences. Movies have a way of grabbing you, and sometimes it's a little frightening, right? We had our son, Charles, when he was little, there was a year or so where he liked going to movies, but he was terrified of that moment when it was dark, and he was afraid of the loud sound that would come. They weren't all that way, but he didn't like that. And we learned, I think he came up with the idea, that if he left the theater and stood outside until after the movie started, he'd be okay and he could come back in. The reason I'm saying all of that is that's kind of where we're at in Luke's gospel today. So there's been a setup. I mean, we've had the birth story. We've had being a 12-year-old boy lost in Jerusalem for 3 days. We've had his baptism and temptation stories. We'll come back to temptation in Lent. We've heard the calling of some of the apostles. Last week, Pastor Naomi preached on the miracle catch of fish, and how the people that were there left all that behind to follow Jesus. In the intervening chapters and verses that we skipped over between last week and this week, Jesus is confronted by some religious leaders a couple of times for doing his disciples plucking grain on the Sabbath, for him healing somebody on the Sabbath. There was the great story of the paralyzed man who was brought by his friends and the crowds were so great they couldn't get to Jesus, so they carried their paralyzed friend in a stretcher up on the roof. Remember that story? That was one of my favorite Sunday school. They take the roof apart and lower the stretcher down, and Jesus says to him, "Your sins are forgiven." And all the religious leaders are like, "Oh, my, it's blasphemy. Who but God can can forgive sins. Well, of course, you and I know, especially during the season of Epiphany, right? We're learning that Jesus is not only fully human, but fully God. So Jesus says, well, what is easier to say, that your sins are forgiven, or get up and take your mat and go home, to this completely paralyzed person? And that's what happens. He gets up and takes his mat. So all of this is going on. And then Jesus is praying up on a mountain. And when he comes down, he picks 12 people, 12 of the followers, 12 of the disciples. And Luke says that he called them apostles, which literally means sent ones. And we'll hear more about that as time plays out. And he names them. They're named in the gospel. And then it's right then when this verse starts. And it says that he came down with all these people and stood on a level place. And this is that stage. It's this opening of the movie. We've got dramatic music. We've got action going on. People are being healed. Power is flowing out of Jesus. And it's not just some people. It's people from Jerusalem, all of Judea, the coast of Tyre and Sidon. In other words, it's not just Jews. It's not just people from the capital. It's all kinds of people that are there. And they're encountering the presence of Christ. And there are certain times when there are words mentioned in the Bible that are supposed to tickle our ear. It would have the original hearers of this gospel message. And one of those is that Jesus stood on a level place for this sermon. By the way, in Matthew's gospel, this is similar to the Sermon on the Mount. But in Luke's gospel, it's the Sermon on the Plain, sometimes referred to, or this level place. And it has a couple of meanings. And it's meant to bring two things together here by saying that. The level place. The first we might tickle our ears is that when John the Baptist was in the wilderness doing his baptisms, he quoted some passages from Isaiah primarily, where he said, prepare the way of the Lord, make his way straight. And talked about, this is the time when the valleys will be exalted or lifted up. I say exalted because that's the Handel's Messiah lyrics, right? The valleys will be exalted. And the mountains will be brought down, the rough places made smooth. So it's a tickle to say, this is it. The stage is set. The curtains part. And ta-da, here is the main event. It's Jesus. The other meaning that this level word has is that there are several places through it, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Habakkuk, Ezekiel, where level places are kind of a bad place. It's where corpses are laid out after a military campaign. It's a place of disarray and dissolution, and perhaps even God doesn't spend much time there. It's meant to be the wastelands, if you will. So the gospel writer, the Holy Spirit, is pulling these two things together. And great things are happening, right? Healing for all people, power flowing out from Jesus. And then he begins to teach them. The whole sermon is the longest single discourse Jesus teaching in all of Luke and Acts. And Luke and Acts by itself is the longest contribution to our New Testament. So read the whole thing, go home, read the whole thing. We'll have a couple more sermons on it and parts of it later. But Jesus begins to teach, and he says, blessed are you who are poor. Blessed are you who are hungry. Blessed are you who weep. And I think for us as moderns, we kind of think this is some kind of a pastoral thing. Okay, God cares about the poor and the hungry and those who mourn, and that's true. But I think sometimes it's lost on us on how great, how extreme this good news is. All of it. The whole reading that we had. It's kind of like, I was trying to come up with some analogies of this. I was able to take two of my kids one time to Disney World for a week. We planned out our whole itinerary, and I don't know if you know about Disney World, but there's like four different lands. They call it like the Magic Kingdom and Epcot and Animal Kingdom and MGM. And then you get to each one of them like the Magic Kingdom, and they've got Tomorrow World, and they've got Fantasyland, and then there's all kinds of rides and just a ton of stuff to do. You're almost giddy with the possibilities. Last night people connected more. I've never been on a cruise ship, but I think it must be kind of like going on a cruise, right? There's all these buffets, I understand. You know, where are you going to start? Are you going to go to the seafood buffet? Are you going to go to the brunch buffet? Are you going to go to the dessert bar that's on the third deck? Are you going to go to shows? What shows do you go to? Are you going to go? Some of the boats have gambling, I guess. But anyway, you see what I'm saying, that sometimes we're given this opportunity to just be overwhelmed with joy or positive thoughts or feelings or opportunities. And that's, I believe, what's up to here. God is became flesh in Jesus Christ and went to where people are hurting and proclaimed the best news possible. Even the woes are good news. You know, if you've ever been bullied in your life, if you've ever been intimidated in your life, if you've ever been exploited in your life, to hear that those people aren't going to get away with it forever is good news. And that's what God is saying. You know, I often read a former professor at Luther Seminary, David Bloss. He's now the lead pastor, I think, at Mount Olivet in the cities. He was recounting that a friend had told him one time that a parent is only as happy as their least happy child. I'll say it again. A parent is often only as happy as their least happy child. Well, God is a loving parent. God is a perfect parent. So God, of course, is going to respond to human suffering. And that's where this sermon on the plain is also this pulling together of two desperate, if you will, or dissimilar realities that are happening at the same time. This level place where Jesus is preaching represents the brokenness of the world. The world that God loves so much, the world that God created good, but that is broken, full of sin, full of death, full of unfairness, full of want. That's recognizing that that is a broken place, but at the same time recognizing that into that has broken the kingdom of God. God's grace, God's love, God's mercy. And it's going to change this world. It is changing this world. It began with Jesus. It continues constantly, even through today, because of you. You're the body of Christ, right? That's what we call the church. The baptized people of God are the body of Christ. And we continue to live in that place. You might call it a cruciform place. It's cross-shaped, right? The realities of this world shot through with the holiness and the divine power of God, coming through you and I out into the world, making a difference. I don't need to remind you that this is a broken place, right? I'm not talking about Calvary. I'm talking about the world we live in. 96 people a day die from gun violence. 8 of those are kids. That caught my ear this week as we celebrated the 1-year anniversary of the Parkland shooting on Thursday. And that's horrific. Those mass shootings, there was another one in Illinois. When was that? Friday? There's hundreds of deaths a week from opioid overdose. We continue to suffer from ailments. We continue to have disagreements that divide people. We continue to have issues of racism, sexism, all the isms in the world. This is a broken place. But we don't despair. And we don't just bank on the fact that someday we'll be in heaven. I'm just going to bide my time until the sweet by and by. We want that. That's still comfort to us, as Paul was talking about in the epistle reading today. Yes, you're going to have resurrection. Yes, you're going to have eternal life. But goodness, God cares about this life. God cares about this world. God cares about this broken level place that we're all in. So God created the church, poured the Holy Spirit on it, and turned it loose. And that's you and I. So each day we need to pray, celebrate, work, give, and support one another and all of God's children. Stay tuned to hear more from Jesus on the Sermon on the Plain. It's always going to be exciting.